This is Wolf's Campfire, and you're about to listen to There's Something the Parents Didn't Tell Me About the Kid I'm Babysitting, written by HeyDoPotato23. You can also check me out on YouTube at youtube.com/wolfscampfire. Now with that said, whether you're sitting around a campfire, on the night shift, or even laying in bed, let my voice soothe your nightmares. I guess the strangest thing was that he was cropped out of the photo. You'd assume a family Christmas card would have, you know, the whole family in it. But he wasn't in it. The back of the card said something like, "Walter sends his love from camp," or something like that. Who goes to camp during Christmas when it's freezing? They could have photoshopped him in, or just included a separate photo of him altogether. Or maybe not make a Christmas card like you're some family from the 60s? I don't know. Maybe I'm just salty that they do this. Because if you study the card for more than an instant, you would see the extra shadow, the fire cast on the edge of the photo frame. Tomorrow, they were having a get-together, one with their adult friends, so I was contacted to take care of Walter for the night. From what Jen described, he seemed like a nice kid. He loved playing chess and video games, and he liked baking too. I was too turned off by the weird Christmas card crop. I was, however, more than a little nervous by the fact that Walter's father Mike had a gun in the house. He had texted me yesterday, reassuring me it was locked away in a safe, and that Walter didn't know the code. He told me the code though. I got there a few minutes before the parents were leaving. "Thank you so much for doing this, Sally," Jen said, as she put some earrings on. "We're excited for a night out." To be honest, she didn't look too excited. Mostly, she was worried. Jen pulled on her coat as Mike walked in with a dress shirt and khakis. "Thanks again, Sally. Remember all the stuff I told you. Eat and drink whatever you'd like and be safe. You're all gonna have a great time tonight," Mike said. "All? Two of us?" I asked. Mike chuckled. "Yeah, both of you, I meant." I smiled. "Thank you. I can't wait to meet Walter." The couple smiled awkwardly and looked down. "See you hopefully before 10. With that, they walked out into the snowy night. They didn't mention or even say goodbye to Walter. I sighed and walked into the kitchen. I figured Walter could come down when he wanted to. I didn't want to bother him. It was only 7 after all, so I had 3 hours to kill. My eyes went immediately to the liquor cabinet. I shrugged and walked over to it, browsing for a bottle to nurse. I picked one finally. Then, a quiet but aggressive voice came from behind me. "Hi, are you the babysitter?" I spun around, and the bottle went into my jacket pocket. The boy stood at the entrance to the kitchen, hugging the corner of the wall. He looked like a scared animal. As far as I could tell, though, he looked normal. Why was he cropped out of the card? My heartbeat slowed down. "Oh my gosh. Hi, Walter. Yeah, I'm Sally. It's so great to meet you." He was still hiding behind the edge of the wall. I bent down a little so I was more on his level. "You too," he said. He had the same worried look. The one on his face that his parents did before they left. I kinda looked to the side awkwardly. "Do you want something to drink or eat maybe?" Walter shook his head. "Okay," I said. "Do you want to come out from behind the wall?" Again, he shook his head. "What if I want to give you a hug?" I said. He was a cute looking kid. I could see the edge of his lips begin to curve into a smile. But still, he refused. "Alright then, guess I'm coming to you." I started strolling over there exaggeratedly. "No, wait, stop!" Walter yelled. The seriousness of his tone actually alarmed me. "Promise me you won't laugh?" he asked. I nodded my head. "Okay." He stepped out from his hiding place. Walter had two heads. My heart stopped. and I took an involuntary step back. "Are you going to laugh at me?" he asked. His voice broke my heart. His own parents wouldn't put him in the Christmas card. I caught my breath again. "What's there to laugh at?" I said. A smile crept across his face. His first face. His other one, well, I tried not to look at that one. Its eyes were dull and half asleep, and its mouth hung open slightly, a dark spot of drool forming on the boy's bright blue shirt. "I'm sorry they didn't tell you." It's okay. Just, it's best not to look at him," Walter said. My lips forced a smile, and I cleared my throat. "So, do you want to watch a movie?" I asked. Walter smiled again. So, we sat down in the family room on the couch, and put on a superhero movie. The ones with the big explosions and fights. Walter sat beside me, and honestly, I wasn't as freaked as I thought I'd be. Walter was just a regular kid who was dealt a bad hand. The movie got underway, and it was getting late. About halfway through, I noticed Walter was asleep. One head, his head, was laying down on the arm of the couch. The other was straight up, looking at me with a wide grin. I had to take a double take. The other head spoke. "Great movie, huh?" The voice was deeper than Walter's and raspy. "I know why you're here." I cleared my throat. "I'm here to take care of you for the night. Your parents are having a get-together and reached out to me." "That's not why," he said. I turned back to the movie, eager for the real Walter to come back. Unfortunately, the other head kept speaking. "We sure are having a fun night. You know what would make this even more fun?" I mechanically shook my head. My breathing intensified. The head leaned forward. Instinctively, I did the same. "Show me where the gun is." I pulled back. "Walter? I'm not gonna do that. I don't even know where it is," I said. "Don't call me that. That's not my name. And you aren't a very good liar. Just tell me where it is." "No," I said, probably louder than necessary. But putting my foot down seemed necessary at that point, and it was clear that the boy I was talking to was not Walter. "I'm sorry. I have to go to the bathroom." I couldn't come up with a better excuse to leave him. Walter, I knew, despite only having met him an hour ago, whatever that thing was, wasn't Walter. I got to go to the bathroom and pulled out my phone to text Mike. "Hey Mike, sorry to bother you, but I just had a concerning talk with your son. I think it might be best if you two return home soon. Again, I'm so sorry for intruding on your night out." I waited in there and flushed the toilet to avoid suspicion. After a few minutes, Mike responded. "Don't worry, Sally. We're on our way back. I hope you're safe." I breathed a sigh of relief, collected myself, and opened the bathroom door. The boy was standing just outside it. "Liar," he said. "Excuse me?" "What did I lie about?" I respond. "I wasn't talking about you, Sally." Walter's head was asleep and unconscious. "Okay, I've had enough of this. Walter, hey buddy, please, wake up," I yell. His eyes remained closed and the other head looked at me, smirking. "He can't hear you. You see, he's too focused on trying to breathe." "Oh shit. Hey, please, come on, let him breathe, come on. Your parents are on their way." I pulled my phone out of my pocket for emphasis. The other head rolled its eyes. "Fine, you're no fun," he said. Walter's eyes opened slightly, and he looked around, confused. In a split second, he lunged forward and grabbed my phone from my hand. All he had to do was scroll up to my text with Mike this morning, and he would know the code for the safe, and exactly where it is. "No!" I yelled out as he darted down the hall and up the stairs. I could hear Walter attempting to gain control again. He ran into his parents' bedroom and locked the door tight. This was bad, extremely bad. I started banging on the door, yelling for them. I wasn't worried about me. There was silence on the other side. Then, a loud bang and a sharp sting on my forearm. I yelped, turned around, and barreled down the stairs. I could hear his sick footsteps following me. "Come on, we're just having some fun, right? Get back here." I ran out of the house and got halfway down the street before I realized he still had my phone. Shit. I turned back and winced as the pain of the bullet in my arm caught up to me. A couple neighborhood dogs were barking in the distance. He was standing in the doorway when I returned. "I think you forgot something," he said. Walter met my eye, and we shared a solemn look. "Get inside." I did as he said. Why weren't his parents home yet? The three of us walked into the kitchen, and he had me sit down at the dining table. The room was dimly lit, and the shadows hugged the other head's face. "I'm done with him being in control. I don't want it to go like this, but I have to do it." He pressed the gun to Walter's head. Walter was silent, but tears leaked down his face. And then, I remembered the nice bottle of wine in my jacket pocket. Without thinking, I drew it out and crashed it against the other head. The gun dropped to the floor. I darted down, picked it up, and ran outside. As much as I felt bad about leaving Walter in there, my arm was still bleeding, and I needed Mike and Jen to be here. I called 911 and said I had been shot, and then I called Mike. But he wouldn't pick up. I tried three times before I grunted and went to text him. "Mike, you need to get over here right now. Your kid isn't safe." "Sally, just get out of there. We will handle the rest." "What?" I texted back. "Your kid is in there, probably traumatized." For some reason, I didn't mention the other head. Not that they didn't know it, but right then, my focus was on Walter. Mike sent me one last text before he blocked my number. "I told you where the gun was for a reason."